So last but not least, and I think this is not just the only last presentation of this session, it's the last presentation of the whole conference. So take pride. Yeah, this is a statistic. I know.
This tends to be a theme. I don't know what it is.
It's like this is like encompasses a lot of different things. Well, it's like this is what it is. So I'll leave the floor to you.
So this is certainly not the grand finale by any means. This is really an attempt to just explain a USDA EPA program that we have, some of the successes and challenges associated with the National Water Quality Initiative, and hopefully in a few years I'll be able to present more information about some of the water quality results and other challenges and successes that have been part of the initiative. So really to kind of back up, I'm Erica Larson. I'm with the 319 program, or the non-point source program at EPA in the Office of Water, and I work with a variety of ag partners on voluntary approaches to reduce nutrient losses from ag fields. So just wanted to take this opportunity to share some of our work with you all, but I will not be presenting data. It's going to be more of a programmatic presentation to all of you. So the National Water Quality Initiative, this is a USDA initiative that was launched in 2012 in collaboration with EPA and the state water quality agencies. And so the state water quality agencies, these are the DNRs, DEQs, state EPA agencies. And essentially the goal of the initiative is to improve water quality from small agricultural watersheds across the country. So these are typically HUC 12 watersheds, a few HUC 10, but currently there's 197 of these across the country. It's about 3 to 5 small watersheds in each state. And kind of the framework of the initiative is that USDA NRCS, the Natural Resources Conservation Service, is targeting about 3 to 5% of their EQIP funds, that's the Environmental Quality Incentive Program funds, for their core water quality focused practices, so not just all EQIP practices, the core water quality practices in these priority watersheds across the country that have nutrient sediment pathogen related issues. And so kind of a key part of the initiative is the role of state water quality agencies who work to monitor for water quality improvements in a subset of watersheds. I'm going to go into detail about each of these kind of components of the NWQI in more detail, but I do want to talk about kind of the switch and focus on watershed planning to ensure that there's the ability to target critical acres before conservation practices are put into place, and that's been kind of a recent emphasis on this initiative and how we see it moving forward. So here's just a subset of the practices. Okay, so till is spelled right. I'm realizing that the spell check up here is that didn't show up before, but these are a subset of the core conservation practices that are offered in the NWQI. These are nutrient management, cover crops. There's a variety of practices under the EQIP program. If you're interested in the full list, I can send it to you. But the kind of the overall structure of the initiative is that these are priority watersheds that have been identified by state water quality agencies. So many of these have impairments or are contributing to impairment for nutrients. And the state agencies really know where there's been work already that have been done in these watersheds. They know where there's monitoring efforts. They know where they can leverage resources and funds and where there's planning in place. So that's really a key part of the initiative. And so how this works is each year NRCS releases a bulletin that determines which watersheds will be selected under the NWQI, and then there's a final announcement of which watershed will be included for the next year. But there is kind of a mutual understanding and even expectation that the watersheds will remain relatively stable. This is important to ensure long-term investment from both the conservation practice implementation piece, that there's enough concentrated application of practices, but also from the monitoring component, recognizing that it takes many years to be able to see water quality changes. But also with that long-term investment comes the establishment of partnerships at the local level, and this is really what's important to get the resources on the ground and to get action in a watershed. And so these local partnerships we're seeing are really key, and this is beyond just the three partnerships with NRCS, EPA, state water quality agencies, but also land-grant universities, conservation districts, nonprofits, et cetera. So that's kind of what we're tracking and interested in. So the NWQI is certainly not perfect. There's some challenges that exist that we're trying to overcome over time. And I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir here in this group, but I do think it's important to note that we have a lot of history working with ag small watershed projects. And there's here just describe some of these elements that are most likely to result in increased water quality improvement in small agricultural watersheds. You know, we know that having a plan in place, active participation at the watershed level, making sure that the right practices in the right places in those critical areas, and also long-term, you know, stable funding. And so many of these principles exist in NWQI watersheds, and where they don't, we're interested in ensuring that they are aligned. So the three NWQI partners have kind of a unique role in implementing the initiative and also assessing progress. And so they're just illustrated here in this chart. I'm not going to go through everything, but the key points are NRCS are providing the targeted EQIP conservation practice implementation, and also the selection of watersheds. EPA, really our role is in both the technical resources and guidance around conservation planning, watershed planning, and the in-stream water quality monitoring that's happening, but also to help kind of facilitate this coordination between NRCS and state water quality agencies. Some of these relationships may not have existed before the NWQI, and so this is really important over the long term, beyond the lifespan of this initiative, to ensure that these agencies are able to work together to prioritize resources and areas. And then state water quality agencies, as I mentioned, their key role is in monitoring the effectiveness of the conservation practices. But they also use 319 funds that to support a variety of activities that the USDA funds cannot support. And so that's often leveraged in these watersheds. So I'm just going to quickly talk about the monitoring. I could spend an hour just talking about some of the monitoring that's happening. But states have the lead on this, and this is a really important part to be able to link the conservation practice investments with water quality. And so the goal is to determine if water quality has changed, one, and two, to link to see if that is changed due to the conservation practice activity that's happened. So this is a very hard ask. It's a tough ask. It requires resources. And so states have developed their own monitoring strategies to be able to answer these questions based on baseline data and what they know in the watershed. And they're using 319 or other funds. Often the land grant is also involved in this. But, you know, as many of us know, this often requires access to conservation practice data. And so this has been a challenge, and something that we're working through with USDA is, in order to design a monitoring framework, you need to know where the practices are in place. And through our work with the state water quality agencies, and since this has been ongoing since 2012, many partnerships have been developed, and many states have secured kind of formal and informal data sharing agreements to obtain that conservation practice data. And that's also a challenge that we hope to address in future years. So I want to take a minute and just talk about the importance of watershed planning in the NWQI, but also more broadly. And you know, we have in the 319 program, some of you may be familiar with our nine-element watershed planning frameworks, but that's certainly not the only planning framework. And these are really a holistic plan to clean up the watershed. And it's often a roadmap to accelerate water quality results. And so because this is this initiative targets priority watersheds, many of these watersheds have some sort of plan in place, but often they're not at the scale that we need to really be able to target critical areas. It could be a TMDL implementation plan or a PL566 plan, but not one at the HUC-12 scale that allows us to target critical areas. and target the NRCS conservation practices. And so in a way to kind of address this challenge through the NWQI and more broadly with NRCS, last year we launched the NWQI readiness pilot phase. And so really what this does is provides upfront financial resources for planning and outreach strategies before conservation practice investments go into place. And so really moving forward with this initiative before conservation practices are put in place, we have to ensure that there is some sort of plan in place that's allowing NRCS and partners to target critical areas. And so we're really happy with the ability to launch this program and hopefully can look to see this link to water quality results in the future. But this is a one-year program, so again, we need to think about long-term effects of this. So I'm just going to switch real quick and talk about how we are measuring success through the NWQI through some short-term and long-term metrics, and then I'll talk about one case study. But you know, as I mentioned, the real goal of the initiative over the long term is water quality results, delisting of impaired waters, et cetera. But this takes a lot of time, many years, 5 to 7 plus years, to see water quality changes. So in the interim, as we're waiting for these longer water quality results to come in, we have developed a set of short-term metrics with the variety of NWQI partners, which really focus on some of the collaboration components, investments, and then modeled load reductions as well using the SEEP modeling framework. And so I'm just going to take a moment here and talk about some of the key state outcomes and then the NRCS outcomes. So really we know that the 319 program has invested in these watersheds across the country to support a variety of activities listed here. But I want to focus in on the second bullet, which is the partnerships piece, which I mentioned before is really critical to the initiative. And so states reported that 66% of states had newly productive working relationships as a result of the NWQI. So this is directly linked to the initiative. And about 50% of them report that these collaborations will expand beyond NWQI watersheds. And so as we think about long-term coordination around water quality, this is really important, and this is something that we're really interested in tracking over the long term to ensure that these partners who have different roles but similar goals are able to work together to achieve water quality results. And so over time, we'll be able to present long-term trends on this. And then there's about 64 watersheds that have this focused in-stream water quality monitoring component to track NWQI progress. And so, again, this takes time. We're only 2 years into the monitoring component, so we're looking forward to seeing the outcomes of that. So there's a variety of key NRCS outcomes, and I think I'm just going to report one here, which is the conservation practice investments and the acceleration of water quality focused practices in these watersheds. So on the y-axis we have treated acres, on the x-axis we have years. And as you can see, so 2012 is when the NWQI was started. There's been about a threefold or triple investment in water quality focused practices. So this is suggesting that, sure, there is this emphasis on core water quality practices. In the future, I hope we're able to link this to practice implementation in critical acres and how that is further linked to what's in the watershed plan and water quality improvements. But we are seeing significant investment and improved investment in the water quality practices. And so I think what I'll do is just end with one success story that we have and hopefully over time, we'll learn again about some of the challenges that may be existing in some of the NWQI watersheds and then other successes around water quality improvements in these small ag watersheds. But so the non-point source success story database, this is part of our 318. It's a programmatic metric that allows us to look at water quality improvements. And so It tells us which water bodies have been fully or partially restored due to non-point source improvements. And so this one is in Georgia. It's Piscola Creek. So in 2000, it was impaired for nutrients and dissolved oxygen. 2012, there is suites of practices that were implemented under the NWQI. They're listed here. And then the State Water Quality Agency, that's the Georgia Department of Environmental Protection Division, came in and was conducting the water quality monitoring samples and did see water quality improvements where now the water body meets water quality standards. And so this is the kind of information we're interested in tracking over the long term. This is now one of our non-point source success stories. And, like I said, hopefully over time we'll be able to see how these changes might be linked. So I want to show, this is the list of 197 watersheds across the country. Some of you may be in these HUC 12 watersheds. We're always interested in making sure that other partners know the ongoing work that's going on in these watersheds and have that collaboration at the local level. So if you're interested in seeing this list, I'm happy to send that over to you. And with that, I'll take questions.
What I would like to say, please ask away. Yeah.
So you had a graph of acres treated, mm-hmm. but then you used the term critical acres. Do you have a definition for that? Do you have a guidance for the states for them to define that on their own?
Yeah, so that's a really great question, and I think NRCS, so this is through the Landscapes Initiative team at NRCS, is really interested in being sure, enabling the states to be able to identify what those critical acres are. You know, from the non-point source side, it's certainly the highest loading areas in a watershed, but it also links back to where there's been conservation investments in previous years. And so I think that it's kind of up to the state to identify that, but kind of moving forward with the initiative, there's a kind of a requirement to submit those acres that they see as the most threatened or vulnerable or critical on a map, and then an outreach strategy to be able to target those critical acres. So, I think that's a great question about identifying what the definition is up front, but certainly, everybody's using a variety of tools to treat their critical acres, and so.
But it'd be nice to have a discussion about how each state goes about doing that, and so is there, what are the differences?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe they don't have to invest something new.
Yeah, so, through the MRBI and many other of these, so this is one, again, this is one of the landscape initiatives that we were talking about this afternoon, but many of them are using the same metrics that they were using in MRBI, but there are a variety of other tools now that we're suggesting to use. And really, that's I'm kind of out of my own. That's NRCS's program here in the NWQI, but we're certainly excited about the opportunity to focus in on that.
How much money usually is available?
So it's about $25 to $33 million annually of EQIP funds. So that's about 4 to 5% of the EQIP program. The 319 program, the monitoring efforts, that is up to the monitoring, strategy that's been developed by the state. But we know, like in 1 year, there was about $7.8 million of 319 funds invested in NWQI watersheds.
Mm-hmm. Question. As someone who is an insider in the EPA, how do you expect any changes with the NWQI in light of the new administration?
Yeah, I can't speak to that. I mean, we have shown progress with the NWQI. The 319 program is funding a lot of the work through the NWQI and much more broadly. So that's we will continue to move forward with the initiative and
Well, thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.